to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Well, you are listening to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast, Lockdown Edition, right?
Coming to you from the church basement.
Coming to you live from an undisclosed location. But thanks for tuning in. My name is Andrew, and with me always is Cameron.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
And Corland.
Hello, hello.
And if you have only been listening for the last couple of weeks, usually we have video that goes along with this, but because of, you know, because of 2 meters spacing, our camera wouldn't be able to capture this. We're all sitting at separate tables, spaced apart, and we're going to just record some audio today. So, how was your week, guys? Thought I'd intro with a little personal time.
Ooh.
I was asked on the weekend if I listened to a podcast called The Sheologians, because someone on there introduces themselves all the time with that, good morning, good afternoon. Good
evening. Oh, really?
And I felt silly. I said, no, I've never heard it. That was original.
Got it. Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's how your week was?
Yeah. He's...
Yeah.
And then he binge listened to the entire season of Sheologians.
Didn't even look it up. Sorry, Caitlin, if you're listening.
Yeah. Oh, man. Corland?
My week was good. I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised that they extended the lockdown, or the whole, like, BC restrictions thing. But
sure.
That's, you know, whatever.
You know what the best was? And it kind of fits. I don't know if you watched, you know, Bonnie Henry's thing. But, man, she chose her words so carefully. It was great. Because you know how everyone is like, they're going to force us all to get vaccinations, and it's the one world government. She said, like, this is, I'm trying to remember. She said, yeah, within, like, a week or two, we'll have our first rounds of vaccinations for those who want them. And I'm like, boom, Bonnie. Yeah. I'm like, you chose your words so carefully. Yeah. And then we'll tie you down and we'll inject you. That's going to be great. Anyways.
She's got a future in politics.
Well, yeah. She's just, yeah. I'm like, you chose your words very well.
You know what's funny? I don't think, you know, it's been like, what, 10 months? I don't think this is what she would have thought. And I kind of, there's times where I felt bad for her. Like, I would not want to be the face of these decisions.
Man. Yep. Well,
she's had death threats.
Yeah, I've told Molly as I listen to her, I'm like, she sounds like she's just right on the verge of a breakdown. Like she kind of choked up 4 or 5 times. Like, I'm like, man, I don't want your job. So pray for Bonnie Henry if you think of that, because
people are critiquing her for not giving announcements on Saturdays and Sundays anymore. It's like, this woman is probably like presenting every single day.
Yeah. Oh man. Anyways, this kind of fits what we want to talk about today. Mm-hmm. I guess I should say, if you are new listening, usually we unpack something to do with theology or a doctrine or a passage in the Bible, and then just kind of talk about what it means for our lives. And so today we want to talk about, and like I said, it fits really well because this is I think this is the hotly debated topic among Christians. Non-Christians could care less, but... in our day and age, it's the idea of civil disobedience. And so what I mean by that is, when is it appropriate? And I'm going to say for Christians, like I said, for non-Christians, I think they don't have that same kind of worldview or wrestle of, they may wrestle with disobeying government, like just morally, but not biblically. So as Christians, when do we get to the point where we would say, we have to disobey the government in order to obey the Bible or in order to, you know, for our own conviction of following Jesus? Is there a line or, like, you know, where do you get to that point? So I don't know, guys. I'm going to, like I said, we want to keep this. There might even be differences of opinions in the room, but I don't want us to spend, you know, an hour defending one side or the other.
Sure.
But just to get, okay, from both points of view, because I think in our day and age we have, and I don't know, is it 50-50, 70-30%? Who knows? But we have a large group of Christians who are saying what the BC government is doing is infringing on our religious rights
and freedoms, yeah.
And freedoms, mm-hmm. And they're restricting us from gathering, and that disobeys the Bible, and so we should disobey. And there's a few, right? Was there two churches in Langley or three? I can't remember.
I think one in Chilliwack.
One in Chilliwack and two in Langley, maybe, yeah. That have met, right? And one received a fine, and you probably have heard the news story. And then there's a whole group of Christians on the other side who said, you know what? We want to meet, but this is not forever. And they would view it as, you know, as a way to honor the government, and we'll just meet online for the next, you know, however long. And we're still meeting, and we can honor the government and obey and blah, 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 blah. So, mm-hmm. Biblically speaking, I don't know where we want to start, or maybe we should all say where we land on
that. Sure.
So I think, I don't want to be the only one talking. So where do we go biblically? Is there a clear cut passage that says, like, when this happens, you can disobey or not? Or
I shared before, I would land, and I do land on the fact that we see enough examples of ways in which we're supposed to honor the government, and we see that throughout Scripture, where even the disciples were thinking that Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans, and that victory would look a lot different, and we were going to see this oppressive government destroyed.
Sure.
But excuse me, but Jesus gives this different narrative of honor and respect to the point of sin. And I think that's where today, like, my whole thought around that is, until the government that is in charge over people causes Christians to commit sin against God, mm-hmm. At that point, we would have to say, no, we cannot do that. I personally don't think we're there yet. And I've wrestled with that over this past week, because a church I used to go to a long time ago in Manitoba is pushing back on the provincial government, saying you're infringing upon our constitutional right of religious freedoms. And what they're getting at is that the gathering piece. And I think that's what we'll try to unpack. Like, what does it mean to gather? And is that the specific way that we express our worship to God? Because it's not defined what that gathering means.
Sure.
And so to go to the Bible and say, and you mentioned it before we went on air, that there are examples of, you know, to gather. But we're not seeing that across the board as, like, Christians alone and churches alone being persecuted in that way. But the pushback is, like, the large chain stores where everyone's allowed to park, sure, and go in. I can only imagine that the government is really wrestling with that. And even in Manitoba, they've actually cordoned off parts of stores where non-essential items are not, you're not allowed to purchase them.
Sure.
So in that context, you see that oppression, I'm using air quotes, for businesses now also.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so in BC, I feel like to still use that excuse is asking for these limitations to be put in place also. And would that make you happy? I'm not sure how that works.
Initial thoughts? Like,
I think that Cameron worded it pretty well, and I would have to agree with where Cameron stands on this. I think that there's...
Why are you wearing riot gear? That was a joke for anyone listening.
Yeah.
They can't see us, Cameron. They can't get those jokes.
Yeah. I think that there's lots of biblical evidence that points towards respecting your government.
Sure.
Or the powers that be, because it honors God, because he's put them in place.
Sure.
Right? I think Cameron hit the nail on the head when he said that unless they're asking you to sin against God, then respecting the government is what we're going to do. And I think that in North America, in general, not just stuff related to COVID, in general, we love the privileges and we worship the privileges that our society has given us. So then when they get taken away, we react emotionally, and we react, sure, in ways that are like, man, we have to do this, we have to do that. And
I like that you said privileges, because we misinterpret that as rights sometimes. Yeah.
And though we do have the privilege that we have rights built around that, right? But I don't know. I struggle to see anywhere in the Bible where it says, if a pandemic comes, thou shalt revolt against the government when they enforce X, Y, Z, right? Like, there's areas there where maybe there is a little bit of gray area, and it's, I would say it's maybe up to each individual family at how they're going to handle that or how they're going to take it.
Sure.
That being said, though, there is still an element of needing to respect the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that we're ambassadors for Christ in this too. Like, a lot of what we're going through right now with COVID is very public stuff.
Sure.
So maybe this is a wrong viewpoint, but it's one thing to maybe joke about it and talk about it in frustrated ways with your friends compared to making a huge scene at Walmart because you don't want to wear a mask.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll push back on the other side because I'll play the devil's advocate. Right. Because I think all of us maybe land in the same area, and I don't want us to, like, I don't want to come, I don't want it to come across as like, well, our view is right. And so let's talk about, because, I've heard a lot of strong arguments for why we should just kind of meet together and do it safely. And I get it. You know, even the word church, ecclesia, it's literally the word gathering. Like, we're meant to gather together. We are. And, anyone that says, like, you know, oh, as a church, we don't need to gather. You are the church. Well, that's just not, that's, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be like, don't go to church, be the church. It can be both. There's not an either or, because the very word church means gathering. So I get when people are like, we need to gather. I would agree. We need to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read, you know, Hebrews 10 is often the verse that is used. And I'm trying to flip fast. Oh, my big fat fingers. Hebrews 10. Talks about, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So those who would have that view that, no, we need to meet together, you know, they would read that and go and take it very, very literally. Don't neglect meeting together. And so we are called to gather together for worship, for communion, for the preaching of the gospel. And we want to do that in person. So I go, okay, yeah, I totally get that. And so when I saw the church, that church in Langley, who just very, very politely and graciously said, we're just going to meet, I didn't go, oh, you idiots. I went, okay,
sure,
good for you.
But there was reports of not social distancing. There was reports of no precautions taken.
Yeah, and then when there's that church that meets and then they start a yelling match with police, and that I go, man, it's not so much... I think in this day and age, it's not so much what we do, but how we do it. If you as a church, you know, if you said we have a deep conviction that we need to meet in person and we're going to follow every other single, we're going to wear masks, we're going to blah, 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 and we'll just pay the fine quietly, then I would go, okay, that's fine. Like, I don't necessarily agree with that approach, but for me, it's like, if you could do it in a gracious way and not like...
But it's still sinning, would you not agree? Like, if, or it's still disobeying the government for the purpose of not sin in a way. Because I think of the church in China, the persecuted church where Christianity is actually against the law. So it's illegal. And so the government is causing them to, for, you know, for our Christian brothers and sisters in that space, they would read that scripture and gather maybe with two or three other people in a basement and make it look like a family meal, and they would have church and they would honor the scripture, and they would, and they are living with the threat of persecution, imprisonment up to and including possible death for being a pastor or to be the one that organizes that. So I think an issue that could arise in the Western church is that we need to meet with our collective 250 to 400 people to honor that scripture.
Sure. Yep.
But, you know, maybe maybe we're having church in our bubbles at home. Like, I'm not sure what that, it's really hard, right? Cause,
and I guess my idea of, or that thought of looking at that church and saying, yeah, go for it. It's because they are convinced and convicted that the government is making them sin. Right. I don't think so, but their interpretation of the Hebrews 10 and, you know, the Acts 5, when they say, you know, we have to obey God rather than man.
Right.
That their interpretation of that would be what the government is doing is causing us to sin because we can't meet in person. So that's where I go, man, I think it gets slightly gray.
Sure.
Because they would say, we're obeying, we're trying to obey. And then the other side is saying, we're trying to obey. Right. Now,
it's definitely not a salvation issue by any means.
No. So for me, where I would land is Hebrews 10 is a command, but it's a command that doesn't give specifics, right? Like, don't neglect meeting together. But the writer of Hebrews doesn't tell us how big of a group. It doesn't tell us what day of the week. It doesn't tell us where.
Or
I mean, the Bible tells us what we do, right? We worship, we take communion, we preach the word. So we're told what to do, but we're just not told, is that 10 people? Is that 50? Is that 400? We're not told, is that supposed to be a Sunday? Or if you can't, is a Wednesday good enough or a Friday? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same with the communion commands. We're commanded to take communion, but we're not told how often. Like, here at the church, we take it once a month. I know churches that you take it every Sunday and you go, okay, I don't think one church or the other is sinning. Those commands, they're given, but then there's kind of, for lack of a better term, there's wiggle room in how do we pass out communion or do people come up and take it? Sure. Well, we're not told. It just says take communion, right?
Yeah.
So the idea of gathering, we should gather as a church, you know, but when so it's funny, we're all in the same life group. So when our life group meets, and we can't do that right now, mm-hmm. but before, when our life group would meet, is that a church gathering? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we study the word. And have we ever done communion in life group? I can't remember. Maybe we have a while ago.
Not while I've been there.
Okay. So not recently, but I think we had a while ago.
I think we had, yeah.
We took communion together. We've never worshiped together, like singing, because no one wants to hear that. But that's a church gathering.
Well, we served the community before, and so that's a form of worship, definitely.
So I think you can say, we're not neglecting meeting together. It just looks different. And I think too, to remember, like, I'm not a fan of online church. It's not the same.
Right.
But when Hebrews 10 was written, the writer of Hebrews, or Paul, who most people think it was, wasn't thinking about Zoom or live stream, right? Because that didn't exist. Yeah. And so to say, like, an online meeting in this season that we're living in doesn't count. Well, Paul had no idea, what, the internet? He had no idea that existed.
And there also was not large church buildings when this was written.
Yeah, these were smaller house churches.
Or outside.
Yeah.
In a field.
So they would meet, you know, in groups of, some scholars say up to 50, maybe 75 people would meet in a church. We would view that as like, that's a tiny country church. But that was the church, right?
Often in homes.
Yeah, and so to say that, like, I agree that virtual stuff, it's not the same as in person, but to say that, like, well, it doesn't count meeting together on Zoom, well, you know, why not, right? In the meantime, and if that was it for the rest of your life online, well then, yeah, I mean, that's not going to cut it, because you need that face-to-face. There is something about being in the same room as somebody.
Yep.
But when you go, man, we're living in a weird time, and let's use the technology that we have, I think, why not, right?
I also think there's a responsibility from folks who choose to ignore or choose to interpret scripture and regulations by the government, a responsibility to do that in a way that doesn't reflect the church as a whole, or doesn't reflect a blatant disregard for instruction. So if that's happening, I think there could be a way that it's not as, you know, obvious. Like, I'm thinking of the church, and, you know, okay, for the congregation in Langley, we're going to meet. I ask that you, maybe we don't flood our parking lot full of vehicles. Like, maybe there's a way where publicly we're not showing non-believers that the church doesn't care. Because I think we have this responsibility also that if we're going to choose this path, if you're going to choose a path that disobeys a regulation, maybe do it in a way that your neighbors who are not Christians all around you just don't look at that. Because regardless, and it pushes back on that idea, well, it's not my responsibility what other people think about me. Yeah. Well, it kind of is in some ways if you're portraying... If you're portraying a lack of a disregard for regulations, then it could be portrayed as actually a disregard or a lack of thoughtfulness towards your neighbor. Because part of this is not just rebelling against the government. It's often viewed as you don't care about the health and well-being of seniors, children, and those around you in your sphere of influence.
Sure.
And regardless of what you think about this flu COVID pandemic, I mean, it's evident enough that there is something happening. There are people actually getting sick, and you know, I've heard the argument, well, they're old and they have other issues. I'm like, it's still a human being that is being sick. So I think if you're going to choose to gather right now, at least do it in a way that's a little more I don't want to say secretive, but maybe respectful of people's you know, concern for health and well-being community. So there are definitely creative ways that you can gather if you choose to be defiant. which I don't know how to say that differently, right? Like, so we've been given a regulation. So if you're convicted and you interpret something some way, maybe in Fort St. John that is having another family over and taking communion. Like, I wouldn't advocate for that, but I also am with you where I wouldn't phone... bylaw on my neighbor.
Yep.
So what you're saying is don't speed in front of the cops.
But here's, so like people have asked me, so as a church, we are not meeting in person. However, certain groups are meeting because, you know, they've said, you know, support groups are allowed. And I've tried to be like, well, my life group's kind of a support group, but, you know, and now they've said youth programs can begin to meet again, and so that's great. But people have asked me, like, so should I have someone over to my house? And I said, well, you're an adult and you have your relationship with the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you feel convicted that, like, hey, I can't practice my gift of hospitality, right, and we're commanded to be hospitable, I gotta have a family over, I'm not gonna say, like, well, I'm gonna report you and you are not a Christian. I just go, that, see, that's why I think there's so much gray in this a little bit, because sure, are they disobeying, you know, a directive from the government that says don't have people in your house? Yeah, but they are convinced by Scripture, I need to do that. Okay, and for me, I go, you're still a Christian. You do what you got to do.
Well, we had a person bring us fresh baked goods to our doorstep the other way and stood in the doorway. That person was practicing hospitality.
Yeah, sure.
And they were, you know, we had a chat in the doorway.
Yep. But so even
5.5 feet apart.
Yeah. Like, so even as a pastor, you know, if someone called me and said, you know, hey, I'm really struggling with depression and, you know, thoughts of, and it's, you know, can I come over to your house and talk about it? Yep.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to be like, ooh, technically... No, if you're light, like, you know, like, we're there for each other, and there's, there are, and that happens, like, people are dealing with a whole heck of a lot besides just COVID. And so if someone calls and says, my marriage is falling apart, I need to talk to someone. Yep. You can come over. And in that case, I would step outside of the bounds.
It's not even the bounds though, because that's the difference between social interaction and, like, you know, intentional.
Yeah.
Like, that's our role every day at work. You know what I mean? That we... you know, Corlin now has joined the Salvation Army, and so when we meet with folks, we have 50 people in a building who call that their home, who do not have to wear masks, and who can gather and who eat together as a cohort family unit. So the staff that are there, I mean, when the masks were introduced, they complied, but for the last 10 months without masks, we've not had issues. And so I think it's kind of challenging because it's not social, and there's very important conversations that happen. And I am one still that, you know, I've had 2 requests this week to meet with someone struggling, and I had them in my office, and I, you know, I wasn't wearing a mask because this, and we were distanced, of course, but this person was struggling with a real life situation of, losing a child custody. And so it's one of these situations where it's so intimate and important to be personable that mm-hmm. to throw this big face covering on is not the most appropriate.
Yeah.
And so that call that a pushback. But there is room for that in that it's not a social. We're just not having a coffee and just chatting and blatantly disobeying regulations for the sake of our own social.
Sure. Yep.
So I like how you said, if you're that person who really feels like you have to fulfill scripture by being that encourager to someone who is mm-hmm. struggling, by being hospitable to someone who's isolated and lonely.
Yeah.
I would actually say you defy the definition of a social interaction because you're being intentional about a person's self-care.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, let me read, because 1 Peter 2 was super challenging and convicting. And I think, too, like all of the passages that talk about submitting to authority were written when Christians were being burned alive and beheaded and like right. a little bit more serious than what we're kind of facing, right? Mm. It was kind of like, oh, you're a Christian? Well, now I'm going to kill your entire family.
Right.
And we're, you know, we, and again, I don't want to downplay because people
coming
are,
to you from the guy who did that for so long, for most parts, like Paul.
Yeah,
having,
right. And then here's Peter, who, by the way, was crucified upside down for following Jesus. And he says, be subject for the Lord's sake. This is 1 Peter 2. To every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Honor the emperor who's killing you. That's just, that blows my mind.
Of course.
Honor the emperor. And then he says this, and this is interesting. Servants, be subject to your masters. So he's talking about, hey, if you're a slave, obey your masters mm-hmm. with all respect, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the unjust. Isn't that interesting? Slaves, obey your masters, not even when they're just good, but also when they're unjust. Obey them. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it to you if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and you suffer for it, you endure, that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. For this you've been called because Christ, and then he goes into, you know, Christ set the example of suffering unjustly. So I just find it interesting that here's Peter and Paul and the apostles who are literally, you know, for lack of a better term, hunted down and killed. And they're like, hey, make sure you honor the emperor and obey your masters and, you know, fear God and pray for those who persecute you. And I think that for me, when I read that, because we often go to the Romans 13 one, right, where it says, you know, obey the, but the 1 Peter 2 one, it really hit me when the context of what's, like, they were literally losing loved ones, mm-hmm. being tortured. And you would think that they would say, screw the emperor, mm-hmm. right? Because we hate him. And they may have still hated him, but sure. Peter says, honor him because, you know, God, for whatever sovereign reason, God has put him into place.
I'm brought to memory in the West, we send missionaries constantly to undisclosed countries where we can't acknowledge their existence for because the persecution is real. But in the West, we'll stand up and defy publicly because we know the recourse is nowhere near as severe.
Yeah.
Find me.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's really interesting because we acknowledge that doing that in a place where the government won't tolerate that is foolish. So is it a real moral stance, or is it more of a defiance for the sake of defiance? I don't know that. I'm not sure if you can answer that, but I've just brought to memory that, and like, you know, your sister's a missionary into a country that is not predominantly a Christian country. And so there's, you know, we're careful in those spaces. We send missionaries as English teachers. We send missionaries as school teachers to share the love of Jesus Christ in a way that is honoring to the government, honoring to the people, but still spreading the love of Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting because I'm reminded of a book called Blue Like Jazz. I don't know if you've ever read it. And there was a conversation between the author and another person where someone said, oh, we're so ethical or so civil in the West. And he's like, I don't think so. I think we're just governed differently, because they were contrasting an African tribe where there was murder and stuff. And they're like, it's just permitted there. So I don't think we're any different. Hmm. And I think what I'm trying to get at is I'm just, my mind is kind of spinning. Like, is this kind of defiance for the true sake of genuine worship and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hmm. Or are we just really comfortable gathering in what has become a social safety net in church, which is a beautiful byproduct of church.
Yeah.
But, you know, and maybe, and you can't judge, maybe that group in Langley, they are sitting together planning how to evangelize in this pandemic state, hopefully.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you got to be careful, because I think for some people it is. They just really have a deep conviction that we need to meet in person. And that's where I go, I don't think less of you. I don't think you're an idiot. I don't think that you don't care about people's lives. I just think you have a very deep conviction that Hebrews 10 means we got to meet in person. And I go, I'm with you. I think we should meet in person. And yet I'm balancing it with this, right? And again, like, COVID's not forever, people. Like, and I think I don't want to get into all the conspiracy theories. But I think that's the fear right now. Everyone's going, this is just the beginning. Look out. And it's a slippery slope. And it very well could be. I don't know. Who knows? Like, anything's possible.
Yeah.
But I think we are going to meet again in person. Hopefully by January. Who knows, right? And I think those who have a really deep conviction that we need to meet in person, and those churches that are doing that, I don't think any less of them. If you're listening and you're one of those people who are like, I think the church should reopen and we should meet, I don't think less of you. I go, okay, great. I love that conviction that you have. Mm-hmm. And those on the flip side who are saying we should not meet, and I've had people that told us as a church, we shouldn't have ever started meeting because it's too... Okay, I don't think that you're a sheeple. I don't think that you're... you know, just a scared Christian and you should have more faith. No, I go, okay, that's your conviction. That's great. It reminds me, in Romans, it talks about, and maybe you guys can answer this. Like, you know, Paul gives the example of eating meat sacrificed to idols or not eating meat sacrificed to idols. Do you think this is one of those areas where Christians, we just kind of go, okay, you have your view and I have my view and we can land on different. I don't need to go around convincing other people to think the way that I think, or should we? Like, because Paul essentially says, like, for those of you who want it, who, you know, that meat sacrificed to an idol means nothing, go for it. And for those who you have a deep conviction that you should not eat that meat, okay, go for it. Like, is that where we're at? Is that this?
I think it's a tiny bit different because there was no regulation saying you couldn't eat meat.
Sure.
And
okay.
So then I would be very similar where if you're meeting, then I pray that you're looking inwardly to say, why are we gathering? Are we intentional in our gathering? So we have this deep conviction to gather.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of us has been to church at some point in our lives where we really appreciated seeing the other people. And it wasn't even we weren't having spiritual conversations or we weren't talking about evangelism. We were just really enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
And so I think during this time, it would be important to navigate, like, why are we gathering? If you are, to be like, you know, is this person, like I said, isolated, needs encouragement? Are we praying for people? And so then I would say, absolutely. But like what the pictures I saw online of the church in Langley, like, come on, guys. The very least you can do when you walk out of the building is throw a mask on and not be within 6 feet to at least honor... like I said, like, public perception is so important, and I do believe as a someone and as a body of folks who do represent Christ and do represent, you know, we have a responsibility to navigate that tension between public perception, our own personal convictions.
Sure.
And it's tricky.
Yeah.
It's messy.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to a passage like, don't eat meat in front of other people, or you're going to trip them up type thing. They're different because they're not the same scenario. And secondly, I don't know, either way, every side will have their own way of justifying whatever they're doing.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
So I think that I don't know if gathering is something you're comfortable with and you feel that you should still be doing it and you're not doing it out of spite for the government.
Sure.
Oh, hey, they said we can't do this, so let's do it.
That's a good point.
If it's, you know what? I think we need to gather.
Yeah.
And it's an honest conviction of that. Then I don't know where I would stand on that is okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I understand that. I get that. Yeah. But at the same time, to try and like you've said, Cameron, like respect and honor the government and the fact that like maybe have some COVID protocols in place.
Sure.
Like I recognize that we probably live in we're fortunate. We live in a community where they might, allow you to disperse if they catch you rather than just issue a fine.
Cheese it. It's the cops.
Right. So like, I recognize that, but like, I don't know, maybe have some stuff in place so that
if
you
have a flashback to my teen years,
yeah, like maybe have stuff in place so that if you have interaction with other people,
sure,
who maybe don't agree with you, you can at least present to them like, hey, look, we're not blatantly disobeying this for the sake of disobeying this.
Sure.
There's
yeah,
consideration for both sides there, right? But that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would be able to
scram. Sorry, I can't get that image out of my head.
And then we ask any
leave the masks. Just run.
Any officers in the congregation can run to the door. Got it, guys. Got it, guys. I'm already here.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with it already.
Well, I really appreciate what you said because this is my fallen nature. As soon as someone tells me what to do, I don't want to do that because I think especially in the West, we're very anti-authority. And you're right. Like as soon as, and that was my initial response when they said, you know, wear a mask, da da da. My gut response was no. You can't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so I like what you said. If your desire to meet with people is to say like, you know, middle finger to the government, you can't tell me what to do. I think that would be a sinful reasoning. But like you said, if your thing is like, I am convinced that in order to obey Hebrews 10 and Acts 5 or whatever, yeah, I need to meet in person and your heart is not so that I can stick it to the man. Well, then, yeah, I would say you are doing what you feel convicted to do.
Yeah, because I know people on either side of the spectrum, so to speak, where like they will know an individual where they think, man, if I disobey the government in this way, I am going to lose my opportunity to spread the gospel with this person.
Yeah.
But I also know people on the other side that say, man, if I obey the government here and like not. Not saying the obeying the government part is wrong, but if I just let everybody tell me what to do here and I don't stand on what I believe,
mm-hmm,
then I might lose an opportunity to build a relationship with a person here where I could do the same thing as this person, right? So I think where I would stand is it's not with what the government right now anyways has said, it's not wrong to obey the government here. It's not wrong to to follow the COVID protocols. It's not wrong to wear a mask. It's not wrong to put a pause on our gatherings for now.
Mm-hmm.
However,
that said, for anyone listening, we'll meet at Walmart in the produce aisle Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
See, and stuff like that, I can understand being frustrating for people because stuff like protests are still allowed to go on. You can go to restaurants and eat. You can go to the shopping mall. Like I saw a meme, and yeah, memes maybe aren't the best way to discuss.
That's where I get
politics.
All my news from.
But that's how we research podcasts.
But I saw a meme where there's. It said, you know, the 25th of December, Christmas Day or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was just this old man sitting alone, really sad at the Christmas table. December 26th, everybody's shopping at Walmart.
Yeah.
So, like, there is stuff like that where it's like, man, like, I can I totally understand people's frustration. Like, man, if this was as serious as they say, why is this allowed? Yeah. But these things that we cherish are not.
Yeah.
Like there is stuff like that. And I think it's okay to be frustrated and want change in those areas. I don't think that side of being frustrated with this is wrong at all. But
I agree. But then too, like, I think it's really easy for me to submit to authority when everything makes sense and I agree with everything. It's a lot harder for me to submit. Like, to think about the first Christians. Wait, I'm supposed to honor the emperor. He wants to kill us. And we would go, that doesn't make any sense. And yet Peter and Paul and the apostles said, no, honor the emperor, even though he wants to cut your head off. Yeah. So I get that it can be frustrating when you see hypocrisy and, you know, when the rules don't necessarily make sense. But again, like the Bible and the apostles and Jesus, like he doesn't say, like the Bible doesn't say, submit to authority if you agree with everything that they're doing. I mean, the emperor was cutting their heads off and he said, honor the emperor. And we would go, what? Right? It's a lot easier to honor someone and obey when you agree with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
That's actually the natural flesh response is when you're limited in one area, you want to start pointing your fingers everywhere.
Sure.
And it just made me think of like the age old, why do drug addicts get free medical equipment when people with diabetes have to pay for it? It's funny because there's this finger pointing and it's almost the same thing where the question is, why is any of that expensive? And so in this situation, when you're looking at chain stores, why do they get to meet? Do you want them not to? Do you want more things to be upset about? Do you want to walk into a large blue chain store in town and only be get to go to the produce section? Because then you're going to have a whole other issue.
Well, here's what was interesting, and my viewpoint changed when they came out with the new restrictions. My immediate gut reaction was like, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
You can go to Walmart and Canadian Tire, but I can't go to church. But then I remembered, I was actually praying months ago that the economy would stay open and that we wouldn't have to. And I go, okay, so restaurants can stay open and people can have jobs. And I went, and it was like a gut, it was like a heart check thing where God was like, you prayed that the economy wouldn't be affected and I'm allowing stores to stay open. So I go, okay, yep. Thank you, Lord, that people can go to work and have jobs. And it's still frustrating, but it kind of, it changed my mindset a little bit where I still think it's silly. But I went, at least, you know, Joe Blow can get up and go to work and stock shelves or whatever, right? And I go, okay.
Well, that's a Christian response to say, I can't have a personal conviction that conflicts with other people's livelihood in a way. Like, I can't. That's a good point. Like, for Canadian Tire and Walmart, for example, they probably employ collectively 250 people that live in our community.
Sure, yeah.
In Alberta, they announced that December 13th, they're going to shut every single restaurant. And I know for the food bank, when our restaurants closed, we had employers phoning saying, how do my staff access your services? Because these are often low-income earners who are going to have disruptions. And, okay, the government's going to throw $1,000 at them and a little bit of CERB payments, but they're going to experience great difficulty. Do we wish that upon our neighbors? Okay, we can't meet to worship God, so no one should meet. The impact of that is very different. And so I think, we have to be careful what we ask for and let your convictions and the way you navigate scripture and the way you gather not have a negative impact on those around you.
Okay, I have a question to ask and then we'll end and you can start thinking about it. How then, regardless of where you land on this debate, how do you think, what are practical ways we as Christians can have an impact during this season? But here's my this is my interesting question. Do you think Jesus would have worn a mask? Or would he have said, that's dumb, like I'm the Son of God?
I think he probably would have.
Interesting. Yeah. Someone actually asked me that. Like, do you think Jesus would have just gone along with it?
I mean, Jesus went along with it when Caesar or when he was wrongly accused and he submitted
even
to authority there.
Even in Matthew 17, when someone said, you know, doesn't Jesus pay the taxes? And what did Jesus say? The Son of God doesn't pay taxes, but he says, but in order to not cause offense, pay the tax. And I went, and that really convicted me.
And what he says there is so wise. And even if we take that, cherry pick that verse and put it out of context here with COVID, there
Corwin's
is
recipe.
there's elements where, like, I don't know, if you want to have good rapport with people, respect them.
Sure.
Like don't. We live in a world where if someone has a different viewpoint than us, they're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're taught. No matter what side of this argument you're on, you're taught if they believe different, they're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Those are people too. They have opinions. We need opposite opinions. We need differing stuffs, right? So Is the government completely right in what they're doing with this? Probably not.
Sure.
But are they completely wrong? No. So, like, there's got to be a middle ground somewhere in there, and we need opposing viewpoints to try and find that. And I think that respecting people in that and choosing to respect what's laid out in front of us speaks more to our willingness to serve others than if we are so caught up on serving ourselves that we refuse to obey whatever is laid in front of us,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's not a sin issue.
I liked your recipe, how to start a cult. Take a verse out of context. That was good. But I remember that really convicted me because, yeah, Jesus did stuff that he was not required to do. And he said, and that's literally, read Matthew 17, when someone comes and says, hey, doesn't your teacher pay the tax, right? And he literally says, like, the Son of God doesn't pay taxes, right? He had every right to say, like, I created you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and yet he says, but to not cause offense. So that's changed my mindset when, you know, someone comes into the church, for instance, and wants to meet with me, and they ask if I'll put a mask on. I could say, like, this is my office. I'm not wearing a mask, but I go, you know what? I don't want to unnecessarily offend you. Sure, I'll throw a mask on. Even, you know, the three of us, we walked in the building this morning and we wore masks, and I thought it was really silly, but you know what? You just, you do it.
Yeah.
Jesus healed a leper and then sent him to actually go through the Jewish system to get cleansed. Go show the priest. Like the Son of God healed you. Just go about your, go get a job.
Yeah.
No, go and honor the system. Go and honor the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honor the man process.
Yeah.
And to be announced clean. Like, that's just, there's evidence over and over.
Okay.
Of that. He would have wore a mask.
Yeah.
Probably a really cool one.
Yeah, right? JC in gold.
Just, it probably would have just said Jesus saves on it or something like that.
What would I do?
WWID. Oh, man. So to end then, because again, I want to be clear, like, we have our opinions, right? And I don't want it at all to come across as if you have like a deep conviction that we should be meeting, that's fine, right? I don't want you to hear it, because I know that this is a real sensitive topic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be good to end with, okay, regardless of where you land on this debate, what are ways that we as followers of Jesus can use this season that we're living in to impact people? For some of you, that might be meeting together. Okay. And like you said, like, your parents have certain people, like, if we need to meet with them or else we would be, you know, disobeying Jesus. We feel like we have to meet with them.
I think you got those backwards, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. So if that's you and you go, I need to have my neighbor over because they're dealing with these things and I need to share Jesus with them, then that's great. I don't think you are less of a Christ follower because you had someone in your house. You know what I mean? I think one of the things that we as Christians can do is eat at restaurants and buy things in stores, because, and again, there's nothing like uber spiritual about that, but we want to take care of people financially.
And even the government has said stuff like going for a walk is allowed. If you're socially distanced and you go for a walk with another person,
you can't
allowed.
Tell me how to walk, man.
If you want to be around people, join the numerous folks from our church who in the past year have signed up to volunteer at the food bank.
Sure.
People who come and serve. There's a woman in our church who leads a Bible study at the emergency shelter every Friday, and her husband works there also. So there's people volunteering of their time to come and serve disenfranchised, isolated people.
Yeah.
They're using spiritual gifts to stock food bank shelves and to give food to people who are hungry.
Yeah.
To share the gospel. And I know that this woman would love if another church member was sitting beside her encouraging the men and women that do visit that Bible study. And so there's opportunities to serve in your community if you desire to be around people and if you desire to use your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no limitations in those spaces. I think it just requires us to be a little more creative.
And then just walk in Walmart up and down the aisles and come really close behind people. Will you be my friend?
Lay hands on people.
Just kidding. Don't do that. If you do, I'm from the Alliance Church. That's what we always used to tell when we would do, like, big citywide youth games, we would always sit down and we would say, okay, if anyone, and I half joking, but not really, if you get in trouble, if anyone asks you, you're from CLA, you're not from Maple Ridge Baptist. But I think, yeah, there's literally someone dropped off a tray of cookies at our house yesterday. Didn't come in, but just said, hey, thinking about you guys. And we went, man, there's so many ways that you can use your gifts still of hospitality and mercy and acts of compassion. I know that technically you can't go into care homes, but you could we have people in our church that live in there, and you could ask for their phone numbers and call them and talk to them on the phone. I bet they would love that.
I think they're still allowing window visits too.
And you could go and do window visit. Like, there's so many creative ways. So I guess our encouragement to you would be, you can have your opinions and
check your heart.
No. I don't think it makes you lesser of a Christian or better of a Christian on either side of this debate, but then to think, okay, this is the reality of what we're living through right now. What are ways that I can share the love of Jesus and take care of my brothers and sisters in creative new types of ways? So
Well said.
Okay. So hopefully that's been encouraging and helpful to you. If you do have questions for other podcasts, we do have our one. Should we do a shout out to our one super fan, Nolan?
Nolan
is our one super fan who sends ideas in all the time. So Nolan and Shelley are our two super fans. And if you enjoy this podcast, make sure you subscribe in iTunes or Spotify or Google or wherever you listen.